Well, good morning. Thank you. Yes, I got a good morning back. You know what? I've been saying good morning all night long. When Dan said it, I said, I'm just going to keep owning this. I'm just going to keep going with it. Well, I don't know what time of day it is, but Merry Christmas. How about that? It's great to be together to worship and celebrate what God has done for us. Each time we gather as a church, we take time to worship God through singing. We also take time to recognize the place of worshiping God with our finances. I want to tell you, if you are a guest with us today, I want you to feel released from participating in this. But this is something that we do regularly as a church to remind ourselves of the importance of being a part of God's people and each of us doing our part to further God's kingdom. And it's also a great way for us to remind ourselves that as we gather as God's people, we want to be built up and strengthened in our faith. We want to experience that, and we also want to go outside of these walls. We want to take the light and love of Jesus Christ to those who aren't here, and we want to pray for all those things to happen. So if you're a guest, feel released from this. We don't pass plates, but we do have an offering box in the back where you can give online. If you want to look at those, you can. We also include a verse each week. This week it comes from Matthew 2:11, and it says, going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshiped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. We see that the Magi coming to see this child, they wanted to come and worship him. They bowed down. They offered gifts and sacrifices. And so it's natural for us when we see what God has done for us, we respond. We want to worship him. We sacrifice other things to show our love and commitment to him. And so let's pray. Father, we thank you for the opportunity we have to gather, to hear your word read and taught and preached, and to be together with your people to celebrate what you have done. We thank you for the freedoms that we have. We also thank you most of all for the good news that is in Jesus Christ, that you sent your son into the world to take care of all the problems, all the things that we face. We're reminded in the virgin birth of Christ that he became flesh. Your son came as a person to identify with us in all of our weaknesses, in all of our struggles, in all of our problems. He was familiar with those. We're also reminded in his birth that it was God in the flesh. He could do something about our problems. And so we celebrate that today. And I just pray that as we gather as a church, Lord, what we most want to happen is that we would know and understand your word more. That we would know and understand what the true meaning of Christmas is, and that we would know and understand who you are and what you've done. We pray for that to be clear in our service tonight. And God, we pray for all the churches that are gathering, that they would make clear the message of what you have done. We pray for that to happen. We pray for those who are struggling in our community. God, we are aware that there are many people that are struggling with loss, with changes, with addictions. And Lord, we just pray that the hope and wholeness that is found only in Jesus Christ would go forward to them, and that the message of good news would hit their ears and their hearts. We pray for that. We pray for those who are struggling with purpose in life, their purpose, their identity. God, help us to not look to things like work and money and stuff and sexuality, but to look to you as our ultimate source of meaning and truth and significance. Help us to find our purpose and our identity in you and what you've done for us. Lord, we pray for those that may be in need right now. We pray that you would bless them, pray that you would help them, pray that you would provide for them. And God, it's near and dear to our heart as a church, as we're a church of second chances. God, we pray that many of those who feel like maybe they've fallen too far behind or in a hole, Lord, we pray that they would experience the new life and new beginnings that are in Jesus Christ. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's stand together. Let's sing this together. Oh, come on. Thank you. seated together as Thomas comes forward to read our final scripture reading for the night from the book of Luke.
My name is Thomas, and I'll be reading Luke 2, verse 22 to 39. And when the time came for their purification, according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him, and it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin, and then as a widow until she was 84. She did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day. And coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. And when they had performed everything according to the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. This is the word of the Lord.
Amen. Well, we'll stand and join in singing this familiar carol, Joy to the World.
Nature.
If you have your Bibles, you can open to Luke chapter 2. And also, if you have, we do have nursery for kids 0 to 4. So if you need to take your kids back there, you can do that. The workers are back there. We'll be glad to have them. If you're sitting next to somebody and they just can't pay attention, you can just give them the elbow to the side. We have sympathy for the kids, but if your husband is struggling, no sympathy there. Just elbow them a little bit. That's what Amanda always does to me. Well, we are in a three-part series on Christmas, and we have been looking at the peace, love, and joy of Christmas. We know those are things that are often associated with Christmas, and we thought, let's just talk about those. We see those in the story of Christmas, and that's what so much of Christmas is about. It's about sharing life with one another, about being with one another, and bringing joy to other people. You know, when we give gifts, We give them a gift to do what? To bring joy, to help them know that they're loved, that they're cared about. We don't give gifts to people to make them cry, do we? We don't like, hey, here's a gift. I hope it makes you miserable. No, we like, here's a gift. I want you to feel my love. I want you to feel cared for. We eat. We share time with others because we want to bring joy to other people. You work on that chocolate fudge because you want to bring joy to the rest of your family. At Christmas, it's about trying to share love with other people. It's about bringing joy to others, and that is really one of the foundational parts of the Savior coming into the world, is that there would be joy for other people. Key part of the story is that the Savior comes, and it is going to be joy for all people. I want to read Luke 2, 8 through 11. It's on the screen. It says, "In that same region, there were shepherds out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, 'Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord.'" The birth of this Savior is going to bring joy. It's going to be a source of joy for all people, not just some people, but for all people. And so we want to talk about this, the joy that we find in the birth of a Savior. So the first thing I want to look at is just the gift of joy. We give gifts. We want to create joy. Well, this is a gift of joy. I actually looked up joy in the dictionary. I just thought, hey, that's a great thing to think about. Like, how would you define joy? And this is what I found. I think this is, dictionary.com. They said it's the emotion of great delight or happiness caused by something exceptionally good or satisfying. I thought that's kind of a neat place to start. Doesn't capture all the fullness of what the Bible uses for this, but it does. It helps us to see some connections. It's an emotion of great delight. It's a feeling. It's a feeling. You know, our feelings. It's things that we perceive. We perceive. We touch. We feel things. There's a superficial aspect that's getting at. That it's what's around us. We feel those things. And joy is a feeling of delight. You know, today we went outside. We felt the cold air, right? Anybody like that? I went outside in my flip-flops to get something from the car, and I thought, that's not a good idea. It was painful. You know, when we go outside to the beach and it's 95 degrees, we feel that. We feel the effect of what's around us. We have feelings, and we feel different emotions, and there's different levels of emotions. Sometimes we feel happy. Sometimes we laugh, and it's kind of a superficial, just, you know, in the moment kind of laugh. But there can be deeper down emotions that we have as well, where it's not just a superficial feeling, but it goes down deeper. And that's actually what the word that's used there in the Bible to talk about joy, it gets much deeper than just a feeling, just an emotion. The word there in the Greek, it's chara. And it's a joy as a feeling of inner happiness, inner rejoicing, inner gladness, inner delight. And I thought this was neat. It's a state or condition of happiness, of blessedness. So it's a deeper thing. It goes down inside of us. Not just a casual laugh that you may have at a comedy show, but it's something that is deeper within. It's a state. I thought that was interesting to think about. Joy is a state. I had to look up what is a state. You know, we think of different states, like a solid, a liquid, a gas. You know, the water that was in my bird bath is now a different state. It's a solid. But I was thinking about a state. You know, we have the United States of America. There are, you know, we have different states. They are all, they're a territory, and they're governed by different laws. And I thought that gets at a little bit more of what's going on in the Bible. God is doing something that is going to govern his people. He's doing something that is going to give them a state of joy. Not just a joy that comes here and goes like the weather. It's cold today. It'll be warm hopefully tomorrow or the next day. It's sunny today and then it's raining. That fluctuates so much. And our emotions can fluctuate based on those things. But God is bringing something that's going to be a source of joy. Not just when it's sunny, but when it's freezing cold, when it's 0 degrees and a wind chill of negative 20. He's doing something that is going to bring joy to his people, not just when things are going well, but also when things are difficult and hard. It's a state. He's doing something that is going to give them hope, that can define joy for them in every situation of life. God is bringing a gift of joy to us. And as we think about joy, you know, one of the things that definition had in the beginning is that it mentioned it being an emotion of great delight or happiness that is caused by something. When we have joy, it's caused by something, right? You don't just jump up and down and scream at the television for no reason. You know, you hear somebody jumping up and down in the living room, and what happened? Did your team score a touchdown? Did they give up a touchdown? What's going on? Something has caused that. Any Argentinians in the house tonight? You know, any World Cup fans? All right, we have one Argentinian fan. You know, follow World Cup. You're excited. Argentinian, am I saying it right? Argentine won. You know, if you're a fan of them, you're excited. You're ecstatic about that. Something caused your joy. Well, that's one of the things, as we see this gift of joy, you have to look at what is the cause? What is the cause of the joy that we talk about at Christmas? We see that the cause of joy is that God is bringing his son into the world. He's a savior. It means that God is saving us. He's fixing all the problems in the world. They're going to be fixed through his son. I remember there was a time in my life that I didn't really know anything about religion. And I remember somebody asking me, are you saved? And I kind of looked at them and was like, saved from what? I didn't know I was in trouble. It was kind of like we watched A Christmas Story recently, and there's a scene where he's talking about his dad. And he says, back then there was Presbyterians, Episcopalians, and my dad was an Oldsmobile man. And I thought, that's probably more like I was. I wasn't sure what an Episcopalian was or a Presbyterian, but I knew I wasn't any of those. I wasn't exactly an Oldsmobile person, but I didn't understand what that meant. I didn't understand what it meant that we needed to be saved. I didn't understand what it meant that God is bringing his son, a savior, into the world. But this passage tells us that a savior is born, and that savior is going to be a source of joy for all of those who look to him. The world needs saving. That's what scripture says. Now, you may not know that, but when you look at the newspaper, it becomes very apparent, right? When you look out there and you see all the problems going on in the world, when you see people who are doing bad things, when you see people who are lying and cheating and stealing and going to jail, when you see people that are hurting others, we know it is a broken and fallen world. We know that there are problems, and we need delivering from them. But a lot of times what we tend to overlook a little bit more is the problems that we create, right? We create our own set of problems. And scripture says that we need to be saved from that as well. We need to be saved from the mistakes that we make. We need saving. God is bringing his son into the world to save us from our sin, to save us from the problems in the world. The Savior, this child, is the one who will rescue us. He rescues us from our sin, rescues us from the consequences of sin in the world. We live in a world that people are turning from God. We need to be saved from that. That's what this child is going to do. If there's going to be no more death, there's going to be no more sin, there's going to be no more hurt, that's good news, right? We need to be saved from that. If we live in a world where we can die, it doesn't matter what we get, it's only going to be temporary, a temporary joy. I'm going to be happy so long. If I'm looking and death is what is in store for me at some point, my joy is going to be tempered, right? It's like, man, that new car is only going to last so long. You know, my mother-in-law actually texted me this week. And she said, "Hey, I need I have one more present to get you. What would you like?" I texted her back, "I want a Porsche." She said she didn't quite have that in mind. I said, "Well, you asked. I thought I'd, you know, aim for the moon." Would love a new Porsche for Christmas. And even if I got it, I would enjoy it. Don't get me wrong. I would enjoy that a great deal. I would have a lot of fun with that. I'd take all the kids out. We'd have a great time. But it only brings so much joy. That Porsche is never going to fix the problems that we have in the world. That is never going to fix the problems that I have in my life. It's never going to fix my need for forgiveness. It's never going to fix my need for significance and purpose. We can only find that in God, and we can only find it in a relationship with Him. You know, sometimes we think joy is like something that is manufactured. You know, sometimes we think, well, we buy this and then you'll have joy. You know, this thing will produce it. You just need the right car, the right house, the right such and such, and then you're going to be fixed and everything's going to be put in place. Sometimes we treat joy like it can be manicured. Ever done a family picture? Right? Kids, let me just tell you, it's a necessary part of growing up. Like you've got to do the family picture, and you've got to go over there and stand next to your brother and sister, and they have your toy, and you know, your brother took your toy, your sister's hitting you in the side, and your mom's saying that, smile, everybody smile and be happy. And sometimes we kind of feel like that way about life. Like I just need to grin and bear it and push on through. I feel lost, I feel miserable, I feel hollow inside, I feel like nobody knows me, but I just need to smile and act like it's okay. That's not true joy, is it? We're just trying to put on a facade. That's not true joy. So sometimes we can treat it like a contest. Remember in college, we go to different things, it's like, hey, they have free food here, it's like, I'm there. You know, and so then you get there and they may have somebody in the beginning to kind of hype up the crowd, like, hey, who's happy to be here? And you kind of sit there and don't do anything. And then he's like, pulls out, well, I've got a free t-shirt for whoever's the loudest. And then everybody just gets really loud, right? You'll do anything for a free t-shirt. You just kind of feel like, hey, we can just put this on for a bit. But that's not the joy we most need. And sometimes we think that we need more stuff. More stuff. Somebody to do the right thing and then we'll be happy. The problem is that God created us for Him. We're made for Him. We're designed to be in a relationship with Him. Some people have said we have infinite desires because we were created for an infinite being. When we don't look to God for those things, we experience grief and sorrow and loss. I actually have a quote on here. I wanted to share this. This is from Dallas Willard. He talks about our desires. So desire is infinite because we are made by God, made for God, made to need God, made to run on God. We can be satisfied only by the one who is infinite, eternal, and able to supply all our needs. We are only at home in God. When we fall away from God, the desire for the infinite remains, but it is displaced upon things that will certainly lead to destruction. Just a neat quote there, talking about when our desires are displaced. When our desires get pushed out of the proper place and pushed towards something else. You know, we end up looking for happiness and contentment in things that can never bring it. I end up looking to my wife as the source of my joy, to satisfy my infinite desires. She can never do that. Start looking to my kids for significance. They can never satisfy me. They can never satisfy you. You can't find that in other people. You can't find it in other things. You won't find it in a new iPhone, and you won't find it in a Porsche, because we weren't created for those things. We're created for God. We find joy in Him. Our greatest need is to have our sins taken away. If we see that judgment came into the world because of sin, because we turned from God, then our greatest need is to be restored in our relationship to God. It's to be brought back to Him. When something goes against the purpose that it was created for, it usually ends up broken and ruined, right? I think about my kids. I frequently tell people if I can't find a tool, it's usually in my yard somewhere. And sometimes I found golf clubs for that. And when I find those, I realize that we'll just say they're not in their original condition, right? You know, when you've been using the golf club to dig up the rocks in the backyard, there's usually a problem with those. It wasn't made to do that. My golf clubs weren't made to pull bricks out of the stone wall. They just weren't made for that. You need something that is made for that purpose. So I get my golf club back and it's ruined. My wrenches weren't made to sit out in the rain. They get ruined. When we go against the purpose we're created for, ruin and destruction happens. We need to be saved from that. And that's the good news of the Bible. The Bible spends a lot of time talking about our need for redemption. We read a lot of different passages today. You heard different passages talking about the coming of Christ. It was this long hope for that God would bring a Savior into the world that would redeem the world, that would fix the world, that would make everything right. You know, when you break a toy, you need it fixed. You need it redeemed. My kids would play Legos all the time when they were little. They would put them together, and then inevitably they would get broken. Usually someone else would break them, and they'd bring them up to me. Hey, Dad, can you fix it? Because the Lego was broken, it didn't mean we needed to throw it away. We looked at it, it was like, no, we can fix that. We can put it back together. And that's the amazing hope that comes to us in Christmas, is that God sends his Son into the world, sends a Savior in to redeem the world. God looked at all the problems and said, we're not going to throw it away. We're going to fix it. We're going to redeem it. He's going to redeem it through the gift of his Son. God looked at us and said, you know, they don't need another iPhone. They don't need a bigger computer. They don't most need a new car. What they most need is my Son, is for a Savior to come into the world, to live the perfect life that they couldn't live, and ultimately to die on the cross, to die for the judgment that we deserved, so that we could be set free from the consequences of sin, set free from the penalty of sin. And so that's the good news. That's what God is doing. As we think about joy, this is what God is doing to bring us joy. This is what God is doing to fix all the problems in the world. This is the good news. Now, I know you may say, well, I'm ready for this now. When is it going to happen? Yeah. I was just thinking how similar our wait for Jesus is like Christmas Eve. You know, as we wait for Jesus to return, when he returns, he's going to fix things. He's going to make all things right. There'll be no more cancer. There's going to be no more addictions. There's going to be no more problems. He's going to fix us, make us right, so that we don't do the wrong things anymore. He's going to heaven on earth. And you hear that and you're like, man, I can't wait for that. I want it now. All the things that are making life hard, God, can you just take them away? Well, he promises to do that when his Son returns. But right now, it's like Christmas Eve. We know that there's something better coming. We know that there's this great and glorious day. We know tomorrow morning, it's going to be lots of presents, right? We love opening presents. We're going to open presents. We're going to sit around in our pajamas. We're going to have fun. I'm probably going to start eating desserts around 7:30. It's going to be a great day. I can't wait for that. I'm so excited. I know our kids, some of them won't sleep tonight because of the anticipation of what's to come. It's going to be a great day tomorrow. But right now, we have to wait for that. But we wait for it with great hope. We wait for it with great excitement. We wait for it with great joy. We know what's coming. And that's what God is doing for us. He's given us the gift of his Son. We're waiting for his return. But while we wait, we can wait with joy, knowing that if we trust in him, we can experience the redemption that he's promised to us. We can experience the restoration that he's promised to us. We can experience the forgiveness of sins. That all the things that I've messed up on and done wrong, I can be forgiven. And I can have life with God. That is amazing. That's an amazing hope. So it governs whatever you're going through right now. No matter what difficulties you may have, you need to know that you have a Savior. You have someone that will restore you and pull you out of whatever mess you've gotten yourself into. That's the great hope that we have in Jesus. And that's what God is doing. And that's why we sing these songs about the birth of Christ, because a Savior has come into the world. And it is a source of great joy, of great hope. It changes everything we do. God brings us into a state of being happily blessed. Blessed in his Son, blessed in what he has done for us. And the third thing to see in this is that joy is received. You know, God has given us his gift. Well, we have to receive that gift. You know, I was thinking about when I was little, and I think one of my neighbors went out of town, and I watched their dogs, and so they brought me a gift. And they brought a gift, and it was a hat of a particular college. And I just remember getting it, and I was kind of excited to get that hat. And then someone asked, they said, "Hey, do you like that team?" And I don't know why I did this, but I just looked at it, and I looked at them. I said, "Nope, I don't like them at all." And I don't know why, but I just remember doing that in that moment. And then I looked at my neighbor and kind of this dejected feeling, you know, look on their face and this kind of feeling of guilt that I had. And I wish I could say this story ended better, but I just felt bad. And I said, "I'm going to run, go play right now." And I left. And I, you know, looking back on that, you know, I'm 45. I was probably 8 when I did that. I still feel bad about that. I mean, this great gift they're giving to me. And for whatever reason, I just said no. I pushed it away. I didn't want it. That gift wasn't received. And we can do the same thing with what God has done for us. We can see this great and amazing gift and just say, "No, that's not what I want. No, that's not good enough." We push him away. We push God away. This is the gift that he's given to us. This is the thing that he says is what we most need. The whole Bible builds up to the coming of Jesus. And then everything after him points back to the significance of what he has done for us. If you want to experience joy, you experience it in a relationship with God. And the only way you can experience that is because Jesus has made a way for you to come back to him. Jesus has made a way for you to be restored, for all of your sins to be forgiven, for you to experience the hope and wholeness, for you to experience new beginnings. You may have messed up. You can turn from that. That's what the gift of repentance is, that we can repent. We can make changes and say, "I was going this way, but now I'm following God." That's what it means to be a Christian, is to recognize that I wasn't following God, but I believe that Jesus is my Savior. I'm turning to him. I'm looking to him. I'm serving him. I'm giving my life to him. Or another way to say it is, I'm making Jesus number one. That's the greatest change that you can have in your life, where you go from serving the things in the world to serving God. And it's not just giving a little bit to God, but it's saying, "God, I want you to have my whole life. I want you to be number one in my life." That's what Jesus deserves. He died for your sins. He came that you could be forgiven. And so it's in Christ that we can find true joy. It's in Jesus. You know, if you have joy, you have peace, right? This series, we've talked about love and peace and joy. If you have Jesus, you know all those things. If you know Jesus, you have joy that you can be forgiven. It puts your heart at peace, at rest. You know, one of the things that we've tried to do as a church is we just need to slow down a little bit. We just need to slow down and reflect on what he's done. We need to slow down and reflect on life and what he's done for us, the source of joy that we have in him. And so we want to do that now, and I want to take some time to pray. Let's bow our heads. Father, we thank you for the gift of joy that is in Jesus. We thank you that in him we have forgiveness. We thank you that in him we have something to sing about. We don't just have to conjure up joy, but we look to him to find it. When we feel lost or low, we're filled up by reminding ourselves of what he's done for us and the hope that is there. I want to give you just a chance to pray. I want you to pray just between you and the Lord. And if you feel there's things that you need to repent of, to confess, I want to encourage you to pray that now. If you've pushed God aside, I want to ask you to pray to put him in his rightful place. But just take a moment between you and the Lord. Pray what's on your heart. And I encourage you, if you feel like you're at a place where you just need to make God number one, just pray that. Say, "God, be first in my life." There's things you need to trust him with. Ask him for that. "God, help me to trust you. Help me to follow you." God, we thank you for the gift of joy that we have in Jesus. We thank you for the peace that we have, the peace that stills and quiets our hearts, the peace that gives us hope and life and light. And we thank you for these things. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Well, in a moment, you'll be taking out our candles and lighting them. If you didn't get a candle on the way in, you can grab one at the back table. But we're going to spend the next few moments again in reflection singing some familiar carols that we typically sing at Christmas time, focused on the birth of Christ. The melodies are familiar, but some of the words are going to be different. These both have been a little bit rewritten just to more accurately display the original writing and put the gospel forth just more clearly in these songs. So as we sing these last two songs together, let's remember the God who has kept his promises to his people, the God who continues to still keep his promises to us today, all these years later. And invite the ushers forward, and they're going to begin lighting our candles as we stand. The ushers are going to light the candles of everyone who's on the aisle, and then take your candle and light the person next to you, and we'll go from there. Thank you.
who lies within a manger, with joyful shepherds proclaim him as Lord. Let not the promised Son remain a stranger, in reverent worship may Christ your adore. Eternal life is theirs who would receive him with grace and peace. Their lives he will adorn. Fall on your knees. Receive the gift of heaven. Oh, night divine. Oh, night when Christ was born. Oh, night. Oh, holy night when Christ was born. sheltered in your arms of love. Christ the Savior is born. Christ the Savior is born.
Comfort of our souls is born for our peace. As we're seated together, I invite you to blow those candles out and make sure the kids as well, every fire extinguished. Let's be seated together.
Amen. It's a wonderful time, isn't it? Just celebrating the peace of Christ. His goodness, His glory, and the joy He brings. I want to encourage you this Christmas season. It's great to be at a service together, but I also want to encourage you to take time with those, maybe who you came with, maybe your family. Talk about the gift of the Savior and what Jesus has done for you. There's actually some discussion questions in your bulletin. If you think, I don't know where to get started, just kind of some easy questions to go through. I want to encourage you to do that. One of the things we're trying to do as a church is not just to be an event to come to one day a week, but to be a community of God's people that are doing life with one another, that are encouraging one another. Trying to do Christmas every day of the year, reminding ourselves of the hope that we have in Jesus. If you're looking for a place to go where you can find out more, what does it mean that Jesus died, that He was a Savior? What is this Christmas all about? We'd love to tell you more about that. We'd love to help you connect with some things in the new year of how you can be a part of things here. Or if you're somewhere else in another city, we'd love to help you wherever you're at. So want to point you to a couple things we'll be doing in the new year. We've got groups at church. These are a way to connect with other people and to go deeper in God's Word. We're going to be doing 28 days of prayer and fasting in January. I just tell you that now. So just go ahead and say, for Christmas, game on, right? Just eat whatever you want. Have fun. We did this last year. This has actually been one of the neatest things we've done as a church. I've had so many people each year say this is one of the best things that we've done. We just live in a land of plenty, and sometimes we need to tune those out to focus on God more. So we're going to be doing that again this year, and want to invite you to be a part of that. Lastly, just want to remind you, we are not meeting tomorrow morning. If you come here, you can stay here, but we won't be here. There's no service tomorrow, but we will be back on New Year's Day. So we'll start back next week, January 1st, with our regular schedule of services on Sundays, 10:45. Would love to have you join us. I think that's it for announcements. Is that it? Did I hit them all? Okay, perfect. Last thing, I just want to tell you a little bit about our church, remind you what our purpose is. It's three things. We want to worship God. We want to love others. We want to make a difference in the world. The way we sum all that up is we want to be radiant. We want to be the light and love of Jesus going to those who need it. So just want to encourage you with that and to send you out. Go out, be radiant. Thanks for being here. God bless.